أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد
السلام عليكم. Peace be unto you. We're back for another program of our Islam and Focus series. We have today our 29th program in our series dealing with the sources of Islam. Today we'll be examining what I hope will prove to be a very interesting question, and that is, did the Quran pre-exist before its revelation to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him? I have joining me on the program, as usual, Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Before we begin our examination of this very interesting possibility, this very interesting question, I wonder if I could have you perhaps highlight the main points that we touched on in our program last week.
Certainly. In the last program, we continued from the previous one. The previous one dealt with the one before it, with the accuracy and meticulousness of words and letters even used in the Quran. So the previous program looked more into the connection and consistency of meanings, despite of the diversity of topics in which the Quran or to which the Quran addresses itself. And we also tried to explain why is there so many diverse topics in the very same chapter or surah, indicating that the Quran was not meant to be like scientific books or other human writings where you have one chapter for each topic separately and you don't come back to it, because the Quran is basically a book of guidance to move the heart, to stimulate the mind. So it's different in nature. It has its own unique style. We give examples from the second surah of the Quran, the very long surah called Al-Baqarah, and indicated that it was revealed over a period of 9 years in different circumstances. However, after everything was completed, it falls nicely and perfectly, both in terms of the rhyme as well as the flow of the meaning. And the indication here was that there must have been some sort of control or design, not only of what will be included in the Quran, but control on the events that are going to take place during this period of revelation, because many of these passages actually were revealed to comment on and to direct and guide Muslims in dealing with a number of incidents. And we said that this unique characteristic cannot be found anywhere. It does not even apply to the words of the Prophet himself, the Hadith. The Quran is quite unique in that sense. And towards the end, we touched on another example of the consistency of meaning in Surah 2, especially from passages 91 on. We had only 1 minute, I remember, last time. We just touched very superficially on some of the elements of that passage.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps we could have explained the last point just a little bit more.
The one that we covered last time?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the basic passage really deals with an address to the Jewish people and inviting them to accept the mission of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to the contemporaries of the Prophet and, of course, those who come after. And if we look at it, you find that it deals with three basic elements. One, it is an advice or an invitation to the Israelites to believe in the Quran. Secondly, it describes the response to this invitation. And thirdly, a response to that response of theirs, or reply to the question they raised. As far as the first part, the advice, the passage addresses them when it is said to them, believe in what Allah has revealed. The point here is that because the Jews believed in the Torah as being revealed from Allah, the most important emphasis then, that once you people believe in revelation from Allah, this Quran also is revelation from Allah, so believe in it. It did not, for example, say, believe in what has been revealed unto Muhammad, which could have been accurate also. to emphasize the universality of Islam, that aside even from to which prophet revelation was given, the fact that it is from Allah is in itself sufficient for you to follow it. Then in the, narrating the response in the Quran, we find a great deal of justice done in honesty and accuracy without making any unnecessary accusations. Meticulous description. It says that when it is said to them this, they say, no, we believe in what has been revealed to us, but they reject something that was revealed afterwards, even though it is the truth confirming what they already have. Now, the point here is that the description given is that it does not say that they rejected offhand. It simply says that we believe in what has been given to us, which means the Torah, and they deny or reject something beyond that. It does not accuse them of rejecting all the revelation given to Allah. It simply says that they believed in one part of the revelation, the Torah, but they rejected something which has come afterwards. And notice here when it says, and they reject, it does not quote them. You see? It does not say, and they said, we reject. It says, and they reject, which is again a very meticulous and very honest way in narrating their position without again being biased in terms of accusing them or anything of that sort, or quoting them something they have not actually said. And notice here, again, it doesn't say we believe in the Torah and reject the Quran, even with that reservation. It says, and they reject what is behind or beyond or after the Torah. And this is a very deep expression because it includes beside the Quran what?
The Gospel
or what has been revealed to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a fact again that the rejection includes both the Quran and the revelation given to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And then when the Quran comes to the response to their claim that they believe but they just stop at the Torah, it does not argue with them whether they believe in their book or not, but he says, right, suppose, almost implying that if you really believe in your book, okay, let's begin from there. How would you reject or refuse a revelation which actually confirms the truth that you have? Which means, okay, let's accept even your argument for believing in your book, but doesn't your book also indicate that there's consistency between it and the later revelation that also came from the same creator? And then towards the end of the ayah, it says, if it is true that you really believe in your books, why do you kill the prophets of Allah? In other words, the way, and I tried my best, in fact, given, of course, the variation and the virtual impossibility of conveying the beauty and the precision of the original Arabic expression in the Quran, but I hope at least it shows not only the precision in expression, but the fairness in narrating what they say, and the great depth in the choice of any words that appears in this passage. All that, again, we say that the Quran was not revealed or was not written by someone sitting there correcting, editing, and thinking. It was all despite of himself. The revelation comes to him, he sweats, and all this wisdom comes through his mouth that cannot be improved on or perfected in any way because it's perfect already. How could we explain the Quran coming from any other than the source of divine revelation?
Mm-hmm. Well, turning to today's topic, could you first of all explain the notion of the prearrangement or pre-existence of the Quran and its significance?
Well, a few points perhaps by way of background I think would be of benefit to many viewers, maybe some of which might be reiteration and elaboration on what we mentioned before, that first of all, the Quran was not all revealed at once. It was revealed on piecemeal over a period of 23 years. The second observation is that the order that we have today, for example, in the Quran, that is the order of the surahs, are different, are not the same as the order of the revelation itself. And in the meantime, we find that the present orders of the Quran from Surah 1 to 114 was not an invention of anyone, but was also divinely directed to the Prophet through Angel Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
A third observation is that even in many of the surahs in the Quran, many of those 114 surahs, we find that not all surahs or parts were revealed at once. So, for example, you don't have the Surah 1 all revealed in succession or chronology, but many times part of a surah would be revealed, and before it's completed, another part of a second surah would be revealed,
yes.
And before both of them are completed, there's a third surah. And as time goes on, the Prophet says, all right, put this part here in this surah in such and such place. There are, however, other things which are really amazing. That by saying that the same surah, like Surah Al-Baqarah, the one that we analyzed last time, the second surah in the Quran, continued to be revealed over 9 years in small pieces and not necessarily in the chronology that appears.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of human memory can keep track over a period of 9 years,
yes,
of different parts which are not necessarily in the order they appear today and say, put this here, put that there, put that in front, put that in the middle, and at the end you get a completely perfect and consistent surah? What kind of human computer,
mm-hmm,
can do this? But the thing that makes it even impossible humanly to do it is that, as you gave example last time, that there were 80 different incidents or circumstances about which the second surah commented. This is an example. Which means, again, that the perfection is not only haphazard, but perfection is related to prior knowledge of what is going to happen in the 9 years, so that each part would fit perfectly without any editing or change.
Mm-hmm.
And who can control and know for sure the exact details or even questions that are going to arise by individuals over a period of 9 years, so that the responses come to fit perfectly, both in rhyme and meaning? Just humanly impossible. Well, one can find absolutely no foundation to say that any human can do that or control the future. The other point that might be useful also is that many jurists describe the Quran or divide it basically like in two types or two periods of revelation. One is the initial period of persecution that's called the Meccan Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Those revealed in Mecca in the first 13 years of the mission of the prophets. The other 10 years are referred to as the Madani Quran, or the Quran that was revealed in Medina, to which the Prophet migrated after this persecution. And I think this is very, very essential and very interesting, because what happened is that in some copies of the Quran, when you look at the beginning of the surah, chapter, quote unquote, it indicates to you, it says that this surah, for example, was revealed in Mecca except for verses so and so.
Mm-hmm.
And then make an exception of 2, 3, or 4, or 5 passages and say these passages were revealed in Medina. And this is something really which is incredible, because what happened is that after the surah is completed, it's perfect in rhyme and in the connection of the topic, even though part was revealed in Mecca, another part in Mecca, in the middle another part of Medina. How could it be that with this span of time, with so many years at a time difference, everything fits together after it's all completed, not necessarily in the chronology? Just to give an example, it's almost like somebody, for example, who's writing a poem, let's say, and he writes the first 5 verses, verses 1 through 5 of his poem, all right? And then after 3 years, he writes verses 8 to 10, skipping verses 6 and 7. And then after 10 years, he composes verses 6 and 7 and put it in the middle, and it fits exactly between the two other portions that he composed before. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Just impossible. You know, if it were in order, maybe you said, okay, here he wrote the first few verses first, and then at later time he added this, at later time he added that. But one precedes the other. It's not in the order even they appear, but after everything is revealed, after everything is put together, it is perfectly fitting. And that, you know, perfection, like I said, could be looked at both from the point of view of the Rayam, which is very difficult, of course, in a program like this,
yes,
being in English, to convey it clearly. You know, one has to check the Arabic origin and really to notice that with this passage of time, it sounds as if it's just revealed at the same time because of the perfect rhyme consistency of the style itself and the consistency of quality also. But the thing that perhaps may be highlighted, even with some difficulty, is the connection of the meaning, that regardless of the time when certain passages were revealed, regardless of the order in which it was revealed, after they are put together, they constitute a very nice flow, to the point that any reader, when he looks at it, finds it very difficult to distinguish any time frame as to where or when these verses were revealed. This is, by the way, a topic which is not really totally new. One of the great scholars on that, Jalal ad-Din Suyuti, wrote a book on that, and in fact, the book is called, actually, The Secrets of the Order, or the way the Quran is ordered. And I'm indebted to that book, at least from the introduction, written by the editor, Abdul Qadir Atta, which stimulated me to do some research on that. And I found amazing things that deepened my conviction that the Quran could have not come from any source other than the divine source. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I wonder if perhaps at this point I could have you comment on and clarify the method that you used for this research.
Well, to start with, of course, I wanted to express my indebtedness again to that volume, especially the introduction, where one example was given and stimulated me a great deal to go to the Quran by myself and examine from beginning to end each surah and try to find out whether it was all revealed in Mecca or Medina, whether it was revealed mainly in Mecca, and which exceptions, which specific passages were revealed in some other place, or like Medina versus Mecca, or the reverse. And then I try to go through the these passages to see whether there is any connection, whether one can feel or gather that these verses are just squeezed in the middle out of context, or whether it flows with the things that were revealed before, mm-hmm, and after. And my conclusion has been that you can't really make a distinction. You feel as if it's all revealed at the same time, which means, again, that there must have been pre-planned before any of these parts were revealed.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps we could look at some illustrations, to illustrate the point.
Okay. Well, as much as time allows us, perhaps I just go for ease in chronology. And my suggestion for your viewers who wish to examine this issue on their own, the remarks I'm making are just like preliminary remarks, and I would suggest that perhaps some notes can be taken of the numbers of surahs and passages,
yes,
so that it can be reviewed personally by them, and just make some remarks that might be of use. Starting, for example, from the second surah in the Quran, that we mentioned last time, the cow, it's called, or Al-Baqarah. Now, this surah is mainly a Madani surah, that is, it was revealed in Medina after the 13 years in Mecca. However, interestingly enough, one single passage in that surah was revealed in Mecca. And if you look at the flow of meaning, before that different passage, the Makki passage, 281, you find that the surah speaks about the prohibition of usury encouraging people to be charitable, encouraging those who lend money to those who can't pay immediately to give them extension. Okay? And then comes that different passage, revealed perhaps with a passage of several years' difference. It says, and fear or be aware of a day when you are going to return to Allah, and then every soul would be given its reward, which is a very perfect fit with the encouragement of charity and the encouragement of being good to others and the prohibition of usury.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect fit. And even if you look at the passages after that, it continues with the same subject that was before that middle passage, continuing to deal with what to do with respect to financial contracts.
Mm-hmm.
A second example, in Surah 5, the Surah basically was a Madani Surah revealed in Medina. However, in verse 3, or passage 3, was revealed in the farewell pilgrimage in Mecca. Again, the strange thing about it is that if you look at the passages before number 3, the one I'm referring to, you find that the surah speaks about the prohibition of eating dead animals, blood, and so it relates basically to dietary laws, the lawful and unlawful. And then comes this different verse, again with years of difference in time, and it says, they ask you, O Prophet, what is permitted unto them, and then he starts giving again some aspects of what has been permitted by way of diet. So it's continuation of the same topic. The following verse continues to deal also with lawful and unlawful pertaining to food and the marriage of Muslim males to the females of the believing Jews and Christians or the people of the book. Again, like I said, when you look at the passage, the flow before and after, and that different passage in the middle, number 3, you can never notice any difference, just as if it's revealed all at the same time, dealing exactly with the same topic. How could anyone have this design ahead of time? Take Surah number 6, for example. That Surah is a Makki Surah, revealed in Mecca. But there are a number of verses which are accepted from that rule. And by the way, they're not all in chronology. They appear in different parts.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like, maybe if we go for some clarification of more than one place?
Yes, perhaps you do that, yes.
Okay. Take, for example, verse number 20, or passage 20. Now, the one before that, that's before 20, 19, it talks about the arguments between the Prophet and the people of the book, and indicating to them, you know, how his mission is authentic and so on. And then comes this verse number 20, which is revealed in a different city altogether, different time. It says that those we have given the book, meaning Jews and Christians who received revelation before, they know him. That is, they know the signs of the advent of Prophet Muhammad or the Quran as they know their own children. And then the passage after that, which goes back again to Mecca, it says, who is more wrongdoer than he who rejected the mission of Allah or said something has been revealed to me even though nothing has been revealed unto him? So the flow of the topic again, showing or addressing the people of the book about the mission of the Prophet is continuous, even though one verse in the middle is totally in different time frame and different place of revelation. And then you go on, for example, take 23, passage 23. Now, the context before 23 speaks about the day of judgment and how people who associated others with Allah in his divine attributes will be called upon to defend themselves and to invite them if they could really help them, just to show that the power all is in the hand of Allah and no God, small g, that's worshipped in this life would be able to avail anyone in the day of judgment. And then comes passage 23, which is revealed in a different city, in Medina. And then it described that those people who will be exhausted to produce their gods, small g, they would blame themselves. They say only, you know, that we rejected the truth. The following passage, which is again in the normal place of revelation of the surah that is in Mecca, it says, look how they, you know, lied to themselves, and then nobody now is helping them.
Mm-hmm.
You see the point? In other words, the flow of the meaning is perfect, and you can never tell which was revealed before which. I mean, it's all just like one, three or four passages in the line dealing exactly with the same topic, one leading to the other. And then you skip all the way to, for example, verse 91, which is different again, revealed in Medina, not in Mecca. And here again, you find the context before it describing the rejection of the Israelites of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and saying that how could a man receive revelation from Allah. Then comes the response from the Quran in the immediate verse before the different one, 91. It says, who revealed the book that God has given to Moses? And here comes the different verse in a different city. And it says, and this, that is this book, the Quran, is a blessed book that we have revealed, which is confirming what has been revealed before. Mm-hmm. If you look at the two verses, it's obvious that for any reader, they're revealed at the same time, because one of them is talking about the book that was given to Moses, and then it says, and this Quran confirmed what Moses brought. Whereas, historically, one was revealed in a totally different place, in a totally different context, but still it fits perfectly the way the Quran is ordered now. Take in the same surah 6, passage number 141. Okay? Passage 141 speaks about Allah providing human beings with gardens and plantations and all that. So it deals with the blessings from the agricultural side.
Yes.
The immediate passage after that, 142, it speaks about blessing from the animal wealth, of animal resources and the cattle and all that. Again, they're different in different places, different times, different cities. But you look at it, the meaning still flows. You might have a couple of minutes, if I may add just a couple of more. In Surah 7, for example, Surah 7 generally is a Makki surah, revealed in Mecca. But there is an exception. From passages 163 to 170, they were revealed in Medina. Now, let's see the context before and after. Before these different verses, that is the Makki nature of the surah, it speaks about the Israelites and how some of them, you know, disobeyed Allah and so on. So it goes describing some aspect of their history as a lesson for Muslims to learn. And then comes the injection of 163 through 170, and it deals with the same subject exactly, the question of the Sabbath and its observation and so on. The following verse, it speaks about the same topic also. It describes as some of the blessings that Allah has given them, and some of the privileges and signs that He gave for them to believe. Again, it looks like a similar, same story. One part was revealed at one time, another at another time, and then in another city altogether something in the middle came. But you look at it, and the meaning flows perfectly. The in Surah 8, again, this is a Madani surah, revealed in Medina. But there is an exception. So the reverse here, some are revealed mainly in Mecca or Medina, and there is exception.
Yes.
Beside the nature of the Madani type of the verses there, verses 30 to 36 were revealed in a different city, in Mecca, before even that part. In other words, it's not even following it, it was revealed before it, which means like as if somebody is authoring the conclusion and then later on adding the introduction in the body, and still it fits perfectly. It's incredible to say that any human being, you know, is capable of doing that. For example, in this exceptional verses 30 through 36 that were revealed in a different place, you find that after it ends, it says, so that Allah may distinguish between the good and the evil. So in other words, in one hand, it describes the destiny of those who rejected faith, and then the immediate verses following, it describes, so that, which shows even a connection of the topic, that this will go to heaven, so that Allah may distinguish between the good and the wrongdoers.
Mm-hmm.
So even the words or the letters even, which are at the beginning of some of those different verses, seem to connect as if it was put there so that in the future, after so many years, in a different city, under different circumstances, whatever will be revealed to comment on that event would perfectly fit, even to the last letter.
That is indeed really truly interesting discussion, Brother Jamal. Fortunately, we've exhausted our time for today. We want to thank you for watching and invite you back next week when we continue with our series dealing with the sources of Islam. Thank you for watching. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you.